All right, now let's turn for a few minutes, if we may, to our Bible, and I'll give you this message that the Lord has for us here. 1 Kings chapter 17. And in this 17th chapter, you have the account of Elijah being fed by the ravens, and then Elijah being taken care of by the widow in Zarephath, and then Elijah raising the widow's son from the dead after he had expired. Now, next Sunday night, I am going to preach on Elijah's power to raise a boy from the dead. There are very rare instances of this in the Bible. Jesus Christ raised Lazarus from the dead. In fact, there were three individuals that our Savior brought back from the dead during his earthly ministry, and Lazarus was one of them. But I'm not going to go into this subject tonight, but next Sunday night I want to speak on Elijah's power to raise the dead. And you have this magnificent illustration and example of it at this point. Tonight I want to speak about this barrel of meal. And if you'll turn to verse 13, we read, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail unto the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah." Now, if you'll turn back to chapter 17, verse 1, we are told that there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And then in verse 2, the word of the Lord came unto him, that is unto Elijah, saying, "Get thee hence and turn eastward." And then in verse 5 we read, "So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord." He went and did according unto the word of the Lord. Now, as you read this story and this report, we are confronted with the fact that God spoke his word through Elijah. That fact stands out. That Elijah was an instrument of revelation whereby the living God, in the directing of Elijah, carried on his work and his witness. And God Almighty has always carried on his work and his witness by his word. That's the way it's done. It's always been that way. It always will be that way. It's the word of God which is quick in power. And Elijah was in a position where God had chosen him to be an instrument and a vehicle for the presentation of his word. Consequently, Elijah could say, "There shall not be dew nor rain on this earth, but according to my word." Elijah would speak only as God revealed it unto him and only as God gave it unto him. And Elijah then had the word of the Lord come to him. And one thing about Elijah that you see in this whole passage is that when God spoke to him, that's exactly what Elijah did. Elijah not only was the instrument of God's word in his testimony, but whenever God spoke to Elijah, he was the submissive and obedient servant to that word. Now, as you develop this story, of course, the Lord told him to go over here to the brook Cherith, which ran down into the Jordan, and there'd be no rain, and he was to eat, and he'd be taken care of, and he was to take of the brook. And so Elijah went over there. And God fed Elijah morning and evening by the ravens. They brought the meat to him, and they brought the bread to him. Now, don't ask me where they got the meat or where they got the bread. I do not know. There have been all kinds of critics and modernists have come around and they said, "Well, where could they have gotten such bread?"
I don't know where they got it, but I know that it was bread, and I know that it was meat, because the Bible says so, and Elijah went there, and Elijah was fed by these ravens. And you can look at these instances and you say, well, now, if the ravens went and got the food somewhere or wherever God provided it and brought it to Elijah, what is there any difference between that than Noah building an ark and God directing all the animals to come into the ark as they did two by two that they might be delivered from the flood? Do you mean to say that a God who can make the animals and a God who can make the birds of the heavens can't guide them if he wants to, then let them do the work that he wants them to do? Why, of course he can. God can command any of his creatures to do what he would have them do. And we're confronted here with the nature and the power of the Almighty God. And we're confronted with the fact that God is able to work with the nature which he has established and with the laws which he has created, or he may work beyond them, as he is frequently doing in some of the miraculous things that God gives to us even now in healing and in blessings that he gives to his people. But, beloved, Elijah was fed by ravens that were guided by God. Well, if God could guide Elijah, don't you think he could guide the ravens too? We don't have any trouble with problems like that, not when you accept the supernatural. If you don't accept the supernatural, if you don't accept the miraculous in relationship to the testimony of the Christian faith, then you do have trouble with such things as these. And you want to brush them aside and say, well, they must be just myths, they must be just stories that have some sort of a lesson in them for it. No, they are not myths, they are not stories. I fully believe that these ravens were real birds and they brought the food from somewhere. Well, you say, where could they have gotten any sort of food? I don't know. But I know one thing, that for 40 long years, God provided manna for his people in the wilderness. And if he could provide manna and the quails every day and the manna every day for 40 long years for a company of hundreds of thousands of people as they moved out of Egypt, don't you think he could feed Elijah for a few weeks? I don't think he'd have much trouble in taking care of Elijah for a few weeks or a few months. No difficulty at all. And isn't it interesting? And you marvel at this. If the Lord could provide the flesh and the bread, why didn't he in some miraculous way give him the water too? But he didn't. He didn't. When the brook dried up, there was no water there. He could have given him water too if he'd wanted to. Why, the Lord Jesus Christ could command the stones to become bread if he'd wanted to. He could open the eyes and call 12 legions of angels to come to his command if he wanted to. God could do these things. Beloved, you and I trust in a God with whom absolutely nothing is impossible. It's not that it's not impossible, but it's the manner and the way in which he seeks to work. It's the manner and the way in which he seeks to manifest his power in order that we may give glory to his name and to his word. So whichever way God wants to do it. Now I'm going to preach a sermon on, I got into this Elijah, you know, and you got a story over here where he answered by fire and you came down and the bullock was consumed and we saw that great contest with the prophets of Baal. But you go on a little further, and there's the fire, and there's the whirlwind, and there are all these other things, and then you come a still small voice. And the Lord was in the still small voice. So the Lord was in the fire in one great instance, and in another experience, he was in the still small voice. It was the same Lord working in these different ways and through these different medias to communicate to his saints his will and his purpose. And we have to recognize these things. But for some reason, the Lord let the brook dry up, and he didn't provide him water. And so when the brook dried up, he says, Elijah, the brook's dried up. Well, Elijah knew it. Elijah didn't know where he was to go from there. Isn't it interesting how trustful Elijah is? He's so trustful. He stayed there until the brook dried up, and he knew that when that brook dried up, that something would happen.
It was not until the feet of the priest touched the Jordan River that the waters divided. And our problem is, and your problem is, you want more information than the Lord's willing to give you, because you're not willing to trust Him. You want more information so you can have information for tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. And our Lord has told us to live one day at a time and take therefore no anxious thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And no matter how much information we get, I don't know how you are, but no matter how much information we get, we always want a little more. And when you get the little more, you always want a little more still. But we have to stand still at the place where God stops us, and then trust Him and wait upon the Lord, and He shall care and He shall deliver. And this is the lesson that every single one of us needs to learn in a practical way as we serve the Lord every day that we live. So the Lord spoke to Elijah and says, now you leave over here, Jordan. Go back over the mountains. Go over here to the seacoast and go clear up to Tyre and Sidon. And up on the hillside, there's a place called Zarephath up there. And it's a long journey. You had to cross the whole country to get up to Zarephath. And he says, when you get up to Zarephath, there's going to be a widow up there. A widow? God's going to use a widow to take care of Elijah? Yes, there's going to be a widow. And she'll have a son. And I've already spoken to her, and she'll receive you. And then when she receives you, I'm going to take care of you. Now, the Lord didn't tell Elijah all about the meal and the barrel. He didn't tell Elijah about the cruse of oil. He didn't tell Elijah about that. Elijah had a message from God to leave the brook Cherith, which had dried up, to go across the country, clear up the seacoast of the Mediterranean, clear up to Tyre and Sidon, and then up on the hillside to the little place of Zarephath. I've been there myself. So Elijah went. He just went. Beloved, I want to lay before you people tonight that the greatest thing that God wants to see in you and me is a walk that is following His word, not knowing what's ought beyond us. God wants you and me to trust Him. We walk by faith. Well, let's accept the fact that it is going to be a faith walk. And let's then rejoice in the trust that we have in God with the certain knowledge that when the brook dries up, He'll tell us to go to Zarephath. Let's have this kind of faith day by day. Oh, beloved, they tell us it's not work that kills men, it's worry. And the men of the world just worry, and they pull their hairs, and they go out to the fortune tellers, and they sit in these little places, and the woman reads the teacup to them, and even the governors and the princes and the rulers of the world have always been trying to find out what's going to be on the morrow and what will be the outcome of this development and what will I know about this. And so, you know how the Romans went to the birds and to the inner parts and all this sort of thing to get something that would just let them know a little bit more about what's going to unfold in the future. Beloved, I can tell you tonight that your God knows what the future holds. He knows the end from the beginning. He's absolutely perfect in all His dealings with us. And it's this that takes worry away from the believer. It's this that gives confidence and assurance to those of us who trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know how this Shelton College thing is going to turn out. I just don't know. I haven't been going to any teacups to find out. And I'm not interested in going to the muttering and peeping spirits to find out. I'm just not interested. But I know that it's going to turn out for the good and for the glory of our God and for the advancement of His kingdom. Well, I've got a letter here that I think I'll read it on the radio tomorrow. Somebody from down Baltimore, I told you this morning, sent us $1,500. I didn't even know they had $1,500. But they sent it to us. They heard us talking about this. And the Lord spoke to them. I don't know what's going to happen. It may be before we get through with this,
we'll not only get this accreditation back, but we'll be able to offer down there a better program than we've ever had before. I'm sure of that. And furthermore, it may be that as a result of this, we'll get more students from our schools and our churches and from the New Jersey area. And we might even get some of you members in this church to decide to send your young people to Shelton College instead of some of these other colleges. We might be able to have some of these things develop in the good providence of God, that as a result of it, we'll have a stronger, more solid movement that will be able to resist the tide and the current of this day.
Well, Elijah went to Zarephath. Here he met this lady. She's going out to gather up two sticks. I always wondered why she just had two of them. Can't figure out why she had two. But she's going to get her two sticks. And Elijah met her. And just notice what we have here in this beautiful report. She was going to fetch it. He called her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread." That's verse 11. "In thine hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake." "I don't even have a piece of bread left, sir. There's not a single cake left. But a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." Poor woman, she had no hope. No hope at all. All the bread was gone. All the cakes had been eaten up. There wasn't even a cookie jar in her house. There wasn't anything there. The thing was completely gone. And she said, "Now, I'll go out and get a couple of sticks." Must have been a solemn sort of cooking deal that she had. "I'm going back, and in the bottom of my barrel, I got just enough to make a cake for me and my son. Just enough. And just enough oil left to make the little fire to cook the, get the wood going, the sticks going, just enough. And when I'm finished, we'll die. That's all. We'll just starve to death." You know, that's just the way an awful lot of you people are. I'm very frank to tell you people, now one of the problems I have, and I do have the problem, is that I'm working with an awful lot of people that don't have as much faith as I have about things. I see that problem. And I want to go ahead and do things. And I want to think we ought to be able to do this. And I have these things. We can't do this. We can't do that. We can't do this. We can't do that. We can't do this. And I've got more canters. Just canters. We can't do this. Well, beloved, can't never did anything. It never will do anything. It's impossible to do something. And if you're going to build a church, if you're going to carry on a work, you must have men who believe that God will work out our problems. And that God will guide us. And that God will help us. This woman had no faith at all. She just was giving up her faith. But I want to show you something now in this record that I'm sure will thrill you, because it thrilled me when I saw it, and I've seen it many times as we've read it. Elijah said to this woman that she should go back and not to be afraid. "Fear not, lady. You're not going to starve to death. Fear not, lady, there's going to be something else happen. Fear not, lady, there's going to be a solution to this problem. Fear not, fear not. Oh, ye of little faith. God feeds the ravens. God takes care of the lilies of the valley. Oh, ye of little faith. And if the Lord so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe ye, oh, you of little faith?" And Elijah is speaking to that woman just like the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to his disciples in his day. "Oh, ye of little faith." And if the Lord is able to take care of the creatures about us which he's made, he's perfectly able to take care of those who put their trust in him. And if there's one thing that you may be perfectly assured of, that God will take care of those who trust you. And when you die, he'll take you to Abraham's bosom and you'll be safe. It takes faith to live. It takes faith to struggle. It takes faith to witness. It takes faith to fight. It takes faith in the living God and your confidence in his holy word. Now notice what Elijah said to the woman. Go and do as thou hast said. Go and bake your little cake. Take the last bit of meal that's in that barrel. Clean the barrel out completely, will you? Clean that barrel out completely. Let nothing be in it. Make your cake. Do as thou hast said. But give me the first cake. My, oh my, what do you think she must have thought about that? Did you ever see that in that passage? Did you ever see that? Elijah said, you need to have the faith. I don't. I'll eat the cake. Yeah. You need to have the faith, woman. I don't. I'll eat the cake. You go make that cake and you bring that cake to me first. And let me have the one you've got. And God will give you the next one. Because I've told you so. I've given you his word. And what did that woman do? She got faith that came to her. She received some faith that was born of the word of God as Elijah preached it to her. She received that faith and she says, all right, I'll go and take the last of the meal in the barrel. I'll clean it out. I'll make the cake and I'll give it to Elijah. And Elijah's told me he's going to take care of me some way. I don't know how it'll be, but I'll take care of it. And she found out how it was. What happened? The meal just kept multiplying in the barrel. She kept it up. And the oil that she used, somehow or other the oil kept multiplying. And what do we read? They ate, and they ate, and they had plenty for many, many days. Just look at that. My beloved, may I say to you, I can have all the faith in the world, and God can give me all the faith in the world, but my faith isn't going to help you. You must have faith that the barrel won't run out. That's what you must have. And we must have faith that the cruse of oil won't run out. And my faith can be an inspiration to you. My faith can be a challenge to you. I mean, I preach the word of God and I believe it. And there's no doubt but Elijah's faith challenged the woman. But beloved, you have to have the gift of faith in your own heart and in your own soul. It's your faith by which you live. It is your faith by which you walk. It is your faith that leads you to act. And it's the faith that God gives unto you because you are a child of God. Turn to that 17th chapter. I'll show you one other thing that's in this passage. The Lord deals with these people this way all the time. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the crude oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Now, beloved, I'm not Elijah. I'm not Elijah. In fact, there isn't any Elijahs alive today that I know of. There are none. Not that operated like Elijah did, God speaking directly to them. He said, it will not rain until my word. I don't have that power. No man alive has that power today. We're living in a different dispensation in which God is dealing with these people. But I tell you what I do have. I have exactly what Elijah had. Elijah had the word of God. It was given to him in that manner. I have the word of God which has been given to us in a little different manner, but it's the same word. And when I preach this word to you tonight, it has the same power as Elijah's word. When I preach this word to you tonight and say, fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I can tell you that God Almighty is going to take care of his little flock of faithful ones that trust in him, and he's going to give us the kingdom. And I can say that with all the authority and with all the power of an Elijah, because it's the word of God. It's the word of God. And everything came to pass according to the word of God as he spake through Elijah. And everything will come to pass according to the word of God as he's delivered it unto us through all the prophets and all the apostles, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone of this mighty revelation of the living God. Beloved, I'm preaching tonight that you and I might have some faith.
that we might trust God, that we might believe that He's able, that He's sufficient, that He can do these great things in our day for His people. And He will do it. And he that cometh to God must believe that He is. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Last night out in that great cow pasture, I gave an invitation, and there was a very fine man that came to the Lord. A very fine man. He accepted the Lord. And then when I came down to give the invitation, he gave me $100. Got him saved first, and then we got his money. See? But that's what you have to do. You've got to get people saved first. Get them straightened out with the things of the Lord. And then they begin to turn loose of these things which make possible the building of the work of God, the sending out of the kind of missionaries. And let's face the fact, beloved, that in these last days the enemy's abroad, the apostasy's here, the world's going down the broad road to destruction. Let's be the little flock. Let's be the faithful ones. Let's come into the house of God and hear some messages on faith, because you're going to need it if you're going to go to that barrel and get the meal out every day. Now let us pray. Oh Lord our God, we thank Thee for the ravens. We don't know where they came from, but Thou didst provide them. We thank Thee for the flesh that they brought. We don't know where they got it, but Thou didst send it. We thank Thee for the woman and her son. And that when Elijah told her to go and bake the last cake and give it to him, she did it. And then Thou didst give the cakes to her. Lord God, Thou art the God of Elijah in our day. Now take care of Shelton College. Lord, give us a great victory on Wednesday. May the facts be presented and the truth come out. And may these men who have operated to destroy this college and to hurt this institution and somehow or other limit our activities in this state, Lord, wilt Thou deal with them? Give us faith. And then, Father, the ICC Congress is just ahead of us. Take these airplanes safely back and forth for us. May there be no accidents. And, Lord, wilt Thou provide the money that we need to pay the bills and to have a great